This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Shall we begin?
Expecto Patronum!
Mr. Mason, certain matters require discretion and finesse. That's the kind of thing you're good at.
Wear your good suit.
This is my good suit.
You're a detective, Mr. Mason.
It's a fancy word for a busybody, but yes.
It's very easy for you to break the rules, isn't it? And you never accept any help.
How about I have a look? You stay in the truck.
Shut up.
How can we help you, Mr. Baggerly?
Members of my church. An unspeakable act has visited upon them. Kidnapping gone way wrong. Worst thing you ever seen.
What do you know what I've seen?
Hello, everyone. You are listening to Popcorn Culture. I'm Lee Chui Lin, along with Shamila Ganesan in two separate homes, and then in a totally separate room once again, albeit a room in BFM, in the studio, we have Arvind Yuvaraj. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Okay, sorry, just a little moment of reverie for when we'll be together again. Okay, so today we are continuing our lawyerly theme of sorts. Yesterday we threw it back to A Few Good Men, and today we're reviewing HBO's latest, or one of HBO's latest series, and that is Perry Mason.
Calling it, well, I think saying throwback is quite apt, because this Perry Mason is a remake, reboot, revisit of the 1950s black and white TV show Perry Mason, which in itself was a TV adaptation of the hugely popular Perry Mason books. So long, long, long history. And if I sound like I'm a bit of a junkie, that's because I really loved the old TV shows. So I was very excited about this HBO show. Were you guys familiar with the background at all?
No, I wasn't. So I have no context or no emotional connection, no nostalgia for Perry Mason himself. So this was completely new for me. In a way, I think that was good because it allowed me to see this through. I had no expectations. And in other ways, it was not so good because I didn't know what to expect or where it was going.
Mm. I have no real attachment to Perry Mason. I've seen some clips, some scenes from the show. I'm familiar with it insofar as Perry Mason is like a shorthand for detective, right? Like, yeah, in the same way.
For lawyer.
Yes. Perry Mason is a shorthand for lawyer in the same way that, I don't know, Kojak is a shorthand. Mm-hmm. So it's just one of those things where it's a product of its time. And so I knew that Perry Mason is famous for sort of those cross-examination scenes, for always being like a ferocious defender of the truth. So I knew all that stuff, which is, I think, enough to set you up for meeting Perry Mason in this iteration, where he is none of those things yet. Instead, he's sort of a downtrodden, down on his luck private detective who is dealing with a lot of personal and familial trauma as well.
That was interesting to me because I mean, Perry Mason is credited, the original Perry Mason is credited with being the forerunner of every lawyer TV show you ever saw, right? So it started that genre, the whole idea of a courtroom case a week that he resolves. So when I started watching this HBO Perry Mason, and in the very first scene that he appears on screen, he's investigating some CD sort of crime. It's like, what am I watching? Is this the same show? But it's very interesting. Matthew Rhys, I must say, I think is a great Perry Mason. I really like him in the show. I'm still thinking about whether it's everything I wanted it to be, though.
I like that you said HBO's Perry Mason, because this is a very HBO show. It is.
Absolutely.
It's got HBO signatures stamped like all over this thing. And I'm sure, like, you know, we say reboot and remake, but even without knowing anything about it, I'm willing to bet that the old show was nothing like this new show in terms of like edginess and where it goes and, you know, the places that it reaches to and stuff. So it is a pro HBO show. And we spoke about like prestige shows last week. This is also one of its prestige like offerings. And yeah, so if you know what to expect from that angle, I don't think it disappoints because it delivers on like all fronts. It doesn't pull any punches, but it is a very, it's a reboot in a very loose sense, I think.
So I think it's worth talking about the other components of the show. So you have Perry Mason, played by Matthew Rhys, who is, like we said, at this point in time, a private detective who's also working for a lawyer on certain cases, being his PI, right? So E.B. Jonathan, played by John Lithgow. And then you also have a very violent crime involving a very young child. And that sort of is the central mystery that churns everything else around it. There's also a sort of radio evangelist situation where you have a church that I think looks a little frightening, looks a little bit like we should wonder what's going on here. And you don't quite know how it all ties together, but these are, I think, the three main But the point is, these are the three main cogs around which the show kind of moves.
And I think one thing that the show does is instead of doing the case on episode structure, which is very not HBO, it instead does what I think we're most familiar with from a show like True Detective, where they have one case that they're kind of tackling that you're introduced to in the first episode. And the rest of the eight episodes just sort of uncover various facets of it. And we really only get to the courtroom aspect later. Although the legal aspect is sewn in quite well. And I also wanted to mention that they do have characters that you would recognize from the old show. I thought Della Street, who's his assistant, but reimagined in a very, very cool way in this series. She's played by Juliet Rylance. And we're also introduced to a cop named Paul Drake, who's played by Chris Chalk. And I think like those were just really nice touches where I don't think you really need to recognize them from the old show, but they're just great characters in their own right that the show has worked a lot in terms of giving them depth, which I thought was, which I thought really worked in favor of it.
So I don't know if the not having the one case a week format worked for this show, because I felt it was way too long. Like it was, for me, it was like a chore to get through, like a slog, right? And I felt like this could have been a mini series with maybe four or five episodes at most, and then they could have kept it because these are like feature length episodes. Some of them go beyond the 1 hour mark. So it is not easy to binge. Like you have to set time aside. And some of the episodes I felt like were there for the sake of just dragging it out. Like you could have compressed them, you could have made them into shorter episodes, and you could have told this story in maybe a quick 4 to 5. So I don't know, maybe introducing these characters to people who know Perry Mason is interesting and exciting, and you can know what to look forward to. But for me, I felt like they were just going around in circles, and I was ready to like leave the show by the time I was at episode 5 at most.
I really enjoyed the show. In the end, the overall experience of having watched the show, I really enjoyed. I understand what you're saying. I think that the pacing is an issue. I think that there, especially in the early season, the early episodes, they introduce some things that sort of go nowhere. For instance, this idea that Perry Mason is a soldier, a former soldier with PTSD. Mm-hmm. That should go somewhere. I mean, that's a pretty big deal. Normally in movies or in shows, the trope is when you introduce somebody with wartime trauma, that's going to matter in some way or form. Yeah.
And they built a set to show the war. What for?
They even showed
exactly.
us, yeah.
That's the thing. So I think that to your point earlier, Sharmila, about building in depth into these characters, right? I think that the show does a lot to try and show that. And it goes down some avenues. It explores some forays that in the end don't pay off. And that is what makes those episodes sometimes feel way too long, where you're like, I don't understand why I had to do this. We never return to it. It never pays off. But the show on a whole, I think towards the end, especially once it starts picking up momentum, I enjoy it so much that I can't really fault it for those other things, even though I do think it makes it harder to want to keep watching it. You're right.
No, I completely agree. I think we're just at episode 3 now, as HBO has screened, and if it's, it might be a little bit tough going still, but I found that once I got beyond maybe episode 4, the rest of it just sped through. I was a big fan of the whole show by the end of it.
I think it's also important to note that it is called Perry Mason, but it's more like Perry Mason and Friends, or Perry Mason and Associates, you know, because it is a lot about the other people surrounding him and not so much about him. So without giving away too much, there are a lot of people in this show that have better arcs and more growth than Perry Mason himself. So it is, I know they are calling it that because it follows the older show, but if they had a chance to rename it, or if I had a chance to rename it, I would call it Perry Mason and Friends.
We might disagree on this. Okay, we're going to have to take a short break. We're talking today about HBO's Perry Mason, which is a prequel reboot of sorts of the 1950s show, you know, the famous defense lawyer Perry Mason. And this kind of isn't quite that, a lot grittier, a lot darker. Are you currently watching Perry Mason? Are you into reboots of iconic characters? Which ones have you enjoyed? You can let us know. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. This is Popcorn Culture, BFM 89.9.
Best flipping moments. BFM 89.9, the business station.
We do what we don't like when there's a greater good to be served. You more than anyone should know that.
The devil put Charlie Dodson in this box.
Mr. Mason, it's hard to believe that you're the right person for the job.
I'm the only person for this job.
When it gets dark, I don't know no fear.
All they've got is innuendo and circumstance.
Life can be so.
We have to go after him!
Why are you digging so hard?
Hello, everyone. You are listening to Popcorn Culture with Lynn, Sharmila, and Arvin. And today we are reviewing HBO's Perry Mason, which is not in black and white, which is extremely sort of well-produced set in the 1930s. And yeah, and showcasing how Perry Mason eventually becomes the Perry Mason that we all come to know. Let's talk a little bit about the side characters, the end friends and associates that Arvin was talking about earlier, because I do think that weirdly, like many other shows this year, it's released at a really interesting time because it happens to stumble upon, I think, a few central things that are of interest to us right now, like public hysteria, like mob mentality and Black Lives Matter, and for that matter, police brutality. So it kind of inadvertently is very much of our time while also being set in the 30s.
No, and that's exactly why what Arvin said before we went for break, the idea that it's not so much about Perry Mason, I don't mind it because I think the time for a show that's just about a Perry Mason has passed. I mean, the original show was in the 1950s. Now, when you make a show about Perry Mason, a white male lawyer who lives in 1930s America, there's such a rich historical background. And I'm glad that they decided to explore that. To me, to my mind, the stretchiness of the show, the fact that it felt long, wasn't the fault of the characters or the choice to develop them. For me, it was more the choice that the case itself doesn't deserve 8 episodes. I think they could have wrapped up what happened much sooner. Some of the choices they made in terms of wanting to introduce this whole church and spending, in my opinion, just way too much time in the mechanics of what happens behind the church. That was not interesting to me, but I very much enjoyed the fact that they decided to include ideas of racism and what an African-American cop, for instance, would be going through working at that time, what prohibition era was like for women. You know, I thought that was one of the show's strengths, actually. I'm quite happy for the associates part of the show.
So I'm always unsure how to review shows like this because, like, objectively, it's a good show. It has all the hallmarks of, like, a good show. And the production value is way up there. The music's way up there. The performances are, like, top-notch. And it has, like, it has a good cast to bring these characters to life. But then it comes back to, do I get any joy from the show or not? Like, did it make me not happy, but do I get any joy from watching the show? And it didn't. Like, it's not an easy show to get through. It's a very tough watch. So coming back to the timing aspect of it, you know, releasing it now is also, it's a 50-50 shot. Like, would you want to watch a show like this now in this climate, or would you rather watch something more casual and more lighthearted? And if you gave me the choice, I wouldn't pick casual and lighthearted, but I also wouldn't dive deep into this show because it is tough. It is super, super, super heavy. And at the same time, it's like, you know, do I review it from the standpoint of how good the show is, or do I review it from the standpoint of, do I like the show or not? And I didn't like the show. The same thing I think we spoke about, I Know This Much Is True. It's the same thing. You can make dark and depressing concepts. You can make dark and depressing themes and programming, but you can still get joy out of them. And I felt like both these shows, Perry Mason especially, is completely devoid of any kind of joy.
That's fascinating, because I thought of I Know This Much Is True when I watched it as well. And for me, it was the exact opposite. I thought, well, here's how you do a show that's dark but doesn't leave you feeling down.
I think because of Matthew Rhys, quite frankly. I mean, so all the performances are fantastic, and they all develop so much nuance and depth as you go along, and you find out a little bit more about the characters and what motivates them. But Matthew Rhys, I think, because he has a fair amount of screen time, because he's the titular character, I think it matters that he could play this role with a lot of sadness, but also a lightness of touch and charm, so that when he's yelling in your face about justice or about not wanting to sell his parents' house, you feel it. But at the same time, when he's saying snide asides about, I don't know, you know, how other people are conducting themselves, that worked for me too. So I think that without that sort of lightness, it would be a problem. But my thing about this show, and I enjoyed it and would recommend it, albeit, again, you know, you need a little bit of patience and you need a bit of fortitude to get through the first three episodes, I would say. But I miss pacing. Like, I miss a more traditional TV show pacing. I think that's what this missed. I think that stretchiness, that word that we used just now, it's fine. It's a little long. It's basically okay. But I think a tight edit, you know, being forced to comply to the age-old advertising TV
40 minutes max.
I think that it would actually have done the show some good to have been forced into this structure, as opposed to, it's cable, do whatever you want, ha-cha-cha, you know. So there is that.
It's really interesting, because we've actually said this about a number of shows lately, and I didn't think of it in that context for the show, but I completely agree. I think the indulgence of having so much space to play around with, and with HBO, probably a huge budget as well. I mean, the show looks great. It's like, you know, it's living in 1930s LA. It's fabulous. Fabulous in a dark and depressing way, I must say. But
in a depression era way.
Yes, exactly. But I think having that much space, sometimes creators need curtailing, creators need editors. And I think that's a little bit of a problem with these shows, that they're sometimes too bloated. They sort of fall in love with themselves a little bit too much. And this show definitely feels that way.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like, you know, this show loves itself. You know that it loves where it's going, and it's but in a lot of it is in a good way. So, like you said, the production is like top notch. It is very, I wouldn't say noir, but it's trying to be noir in like maybe the mid 80s, early 90s sense, when they were throwing back to stuff in the 40s and 50s. So it has all of that going for it. It also has a lot of themes that it didn't have to be in there, but I'm glad that they took the opportunity to put them in there. It is a very progressive show. Like you said, it touches on a lot of important things. So they didn't skim out on that. But also, it's just, I think when you have too much freedom and too much money and too much budget to do way too many things, the show becomes convoluted. There are so many things in the show that didn't have to be there. So many characters that could have been saved for future seasons, so many concepts that could have been brought on maybe in season 2 and 3, but they decided to cram it into an 8-episode season, 1 hour long each episode. And it was a bit too much. Like for me personally, it was way too overwhelming. Not because it's like an attack on your senses, but because it just takes a long time to get from A to B, and then they expect you to stay with them to Z.
Did anyone else miss? I mean, I said this about Few Good Men yesterday, so maybe it's just the week that I'm in. But this show really did make me miss courtroom dramas. And I feel like in today's landscape, there's a lot of space to talk about these issues in the way that even this show does.
I was thinking of David E. Kelly, actually, and whether or not we still want the David E. Kelly, Ally McBeal, you know, kind of treatment, which, I mean, for all its frivolity, also had a real beating courtroom drama heart. So I can't say that of all the procedurals out there that I miss courtroom dramas the most, but I certainly think we could do away with one of the CSIs or one of the other sort of police-ish procedurals, and there's certainly room for it. Whether I personally miss it incredibly, not so much, I have to say.
I miss a few Good Men sort of courtroom dramas. I don't miss this kind of courtroom drama, because if this is how it's going to be, I'd be like, yeah, no, we don't want to bring this format back. Because when I think of courtroom dramas, I either think of things like A Few Good Men or I think of Boston Legal. This is not both of those things. So
this one, that's the problem, right? Because this one wants to be both. It wants to be both a crime procedural and a courtroom drama.
I don't think it does want to be a crime procedural. I don't think it is that. Yeah. I think that it is it's actually a noir drama. I think it's best understood as a noir TV series. I agree with that. You know, it has all the hallmarks of it. It's got femme fatales, it's got killer blondes, it's got, you know, it's got all of that. So maybe you're right. Maybe, you know, we looking at it through the lens of Perry Mason in and of itself is the problem. Perhaps, you know, if you just wanted to make a noir detective show, you didn't need it to be Perry Mason. I don't know.
I know. I mean, was it productive to have that link? I'm actually not sure, because as someone who came to it framed in a certain way, that for me was the main stumbling block.
Would you want to see a season two or season three? Like, could you do this all over again?
I would. I totally would. By the end of the series, I really liked it.
I would, simply because I really enjoyed the characters. And by the end, they've got really great chemistry. And so I would watch for that. And then I think we could fall into a comfortable procedural situation. Would I watch another season like this one? I don't know, because we've already done the groundwork.
I don't think I would. I would be like, yeah, no, this is not for me. I'm just gonna ignore that there's a season two coming up. But yeah, that's where I stand.
So we've been talking today about Perry Mason, the new Perry Mason, mind you, the one that's currently airing on HBO. If you're watching it, if you were a fan of the old Perry Mason, if you want to weigh in on reboots as a whole, you can let us know. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can tweet us at BFM Radio if you want to find out what we're up to. Again, we are BFM Popcorn on both Twitter and Instagram. You've been listening to Popcorn Culture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.